So today I'm going to talk to you about a physical education research project out of California that engaged in an assessment of the status of physical education and physical activity in California schools. I have no relationships to financial relationships to disclose, and you know, obviously, I didn't take a whole lot of time in my slides to sort of go over the statistics on youth obesity and adolescent obesity and its rise. I think we all know it's well established that youth obesity has been on the rise. In California, there has been dialogue for a while now, just sort of about the absence, if you will, of physical education and physical activity in our school systems. We actually have California Ed Codes on the book that mandate X amount of minutes, both at the elementary level and secondary level, that kids should be engaging in physical activity, physical education, not necessarily physical activity. On days of the week. So for example, at the elementary level, it's 200 minutes of physical education every 10 days. At the secondary level, it's 400 minutes of physical education every 10 days. However, a 2006 study that came out of the California Center for Public Health Advocacy looked at elementary schools that had reported to the state their minutes of physical activity, physical education that they were engaging in, and more than 51% of the districts that reported said they actually were not meeting the 200 mandate. So obviously it's very alarming, especially for those of us in California that have kids, also that are interested in the topic of youth obesity and school health in general. So the other thing is that physical education in the policy department is sort of been a kind of an untouched area for a lot of legislators. So I worked with the California Task Force on Youth and Workplace Wellness, and we received money from the California Endowment and Kaiser Permanente to examine the status of, or the state of physical education and physical activity in schools throughout California. We did this research from December 08 to December 10. To our knowledge, no study that had ever been published had ever done sort of a statewide assessment. There had been lots of other studies that had done sort of assessments either localized in the Southern California area or parts of the Northern California area, but never one that was sort of comprehensive statewide in general. The other thing is that in addition to the results that I'm presenting to you today, which is the qualitative and research survey research findings, there also, as part of this project, there also was a very comprehensive literature review that consists of more than 217 sources that I recommend all of you to, if you're interested in this topic, to look at. It is a very comprehensive lit review. It is not specific just to California. There are sections that are specific to California, but a lot of the research really looks at physical activity and physical education and whether or not it's actually hurting test scores. There's sort of this discussion, right, that we have to keep kids kind of in the classroom. So anyway, I want to defer you to that, as well as there was a set of policy recommendations made to California state legislatures. And both of those pieces of work came out of one of our partners, the UC Berkeley Center for Health, Weight and Health. Okay. So our primary partners were Sacramento State University and then UC Berkeley Center for Weight and Health, as well as some other collaborative partners. One of them is Vicki Behrens, who's presenting to you today and was so generous to allow me to take her spot. Good partnership, right? From California Project Lean, but you can also see some of the other collaborative partners that we worked with. So our sampling, basically we had three different target populations we were after. We wanted to hear from physical education teachers, both teaching at the elementary and secondary level. We also wanted to talk to district level physical education coordinators, which we found supposedly is supposed to be sort of a statewide occurrence, but we found out doesn't actually occur in a lot of the school districts in California. So we also spoke to elementary school teachers, and one of the reasons was the multiple subject elementary school teachers were being relied upon and are being relied upon a lot to teach physical education. We focused on underserved districts as defined there and also districts with high ELL, English as a second language. We used a mixed methods approach. Our survey, we had an online survey that consisted of both quantitative questions as well as our structured questions as well as open-ended questions. And then we did focus groups and key informant interviews throughout the state, which we actually transcribed and sort of did thematic analysis. So our demographics, we had more than 690 respondents, which represented about 147 different school districts. You can see the majority of our sample was credentialed PE teachers at the secondary level, followed by the elementary school teachers, and then the credentialed PE teachers at the elementary level. We did 6 focus groups in 6 different regions. We sort of broke California, it's a very large state, into 6 different regions. And then we also, for 2 other regions, we didn't have sort of the participation that we were looking for in terms of people coming to the focus group because the distance was so far. So we did 6 key informant interviews with local professionals. Okay, so to the meat of the matter here. So our quantitative results, what we found at the elementary level is we asked them, who's responsible for teaching PE the majority of the time in your district? And 59.3% at the elementary level. And 59.3% of those said multiple subject teachers, which means the classroom teacher. So then we asked questions about training, because we know that multiple subject teachers get very limited amount of training, if you will, and their credential for teaching physical education. And 27.9% of the sample said there's really no ongoing training. And 24 didn't know if there was training, which we thought was interesting. We also asked them if their school district was receiving money for physical education improvements or support. And a lot of our participants, 53% of our participants said, I have no idea what my school district gets, which really alarmed us because we thought, well, wait a minute, if this money is directly affecting you, then how come you're not sort of in the loop? And then we also asked how physical education money, if it is received, how it's spent. And the majority of the time you could see that it was spent on equipment, but 40% said, I don't know. I don't know how money that it's received by the district is actually spent. We asked specifically what were the 5 top barriers to the minute requirement that I discussed earlier at the elementary level, and these were the ones that they told us. The district is not placing PE as a priority. There's a lack of credentialed PE teachers for teaching PE. There's a lack of training for elementary multiple subject teachers, a lack of administrative interest or support, and that the amount of time assigned to PE by the district is very, very limited. We also asked of our sample how many of their, in their district, how many thought their elementary schools were meeting the 200-minute requirement. And as you can see, 64% said, we're not. And then 5.6, the one that says 5.6 not applicable, basically just means came from a district where there was no elementary school. We also asked at the secondary level how many years their district requires that students take physical education in high school. We do have a 4-year requirement, but we seem to have this sort of floating permanent exemption that keeps occurring, which if I had more time, I could explain to you in more detail. It's supposed to be sort of an individual student exemption, but school districts are sort of assuming it as a district kind of exemption. Anyway, 50% said only 2 years, so most high school students are only doing 2 years. And then we also asked them about the time spent in a physical education class doing moderate to vigorous physical activity. Now, we have some concerns about these numbers because based on other research, it sort of doesn't support, our sample doesn't really support the other research. We think there may have been some confusion about what MVPA was or how you sort of define that. So I would look at those with caution, if you will. We also asked what the biggest barriers were in the secondary level, and they told us things like class size, that people's constantly being pulled out for exemptions, and then an immense focus on athletics. For the majority of us, there's probably not a big surprise. Then we looked at our qualitative findings. So these were sort of the thematics, the themes that sort of came out of our qualitative work. Overall, whether they were secondary, elementary, our physical educators, our sample, really felt like they were being devalued. That administrative support was engaging in activities or not engaging activities that really made them feel like they weren't a valuable part of the school system. For example, one school told us that they were cited by the state for teaching their students how to swim on the bleachers. And they said, we don't have a pool. We also don't have a partnership with anybody in the community, a joint use partnership, and our district hasn't made that a priority, but yet we're now being cited. So, I mean, just sort of ludicrousy, like, what? I mean, I was not supposed to react, right, as a researcher, but I was like, what? So, it just doesn't make sense, right? Another physical educator told us she's been working as a physical educator for 30 years, and she hasn't once had an administrator actually come out and watch her teach a PE class, okay? an overall emphasis on test scores. I don't know how it is in other states, but in California, it's all about the test, right? They kept telling us, you know, principals, administrators are interested in the test scores. It's a focus on test scores. At the elementary level, when we're looking at sort of whether or not actual physical education is occurring at the elementary level, there's this immense pressure on time. You know, if we're relying on multiple subject teachers the majority of the time to teach our physical education, they have 100 other subjects, I'm being dramatic, but you get the point, that they're also responsible for. And so time to carve out, you know, this niche of time for physical education is very difficult. There's also a lot of administrative pressures for test scores. Just so one of the quotes I'm going to actually read, one of our teachers at the elementary level said, you know, we're a program improvement district and they all know the minimum requirement, but the teachers are told you stay in that classroom and you work on improving those test scores. We heard this up and down the state, you know, that principals actually said, I don't care, put it in your lesson plan. If the state comes, they can look at it in the lesson plan. You stay in there, you improve those reading scores, you improve those math scores. The other thing is that a lot of discussion about the need for more training at the elementary level. You're going to give me some when I'm, okay. At the secondary level, a lot of discussion about class size. We heard ratios of one teacher to 90 students. We heard ratios, we actually heard of one to 220. You know, I don't know, again, if there was just some dramatics involved in that or, but the reality is one particular participant said something that is very memorable to me. He said, these are not only, you know, 90 people, but they're 90 moving bodies and they're 90 moving teenage bodies. And I went, oh, that's profound, right? So I have 3 minutes. I need to move forward here. Anyway, so also funding. You know, we were sort of doing this assessment as the economy was sort of taking a dump, and we kept asking, you know, the physical educators how they felt like the economy was going to affect them, and they basically said, look, you know what, this is not an economic issue. There's money. It's about where you put the money. That's important, right? Okay, lots of discussion about exemptions and pullouts and substitutions, as you can probably imagine. So, in general, what did we find out? Well, that physical educators and those working in physical education basically feel like they're not included in the administrative decision-making process. That there's this sense of devaluing, right? That there is money in certain areas, certain districts, but that the line item isn't put to support physical education. We had one school district in California that for all intents and reasons should be one of the lowest performing school, well, you know, academically and physical education, has like 95% English second language learners and has one of the most amazing physical education programs in the state. So it's because his administrators, you know, made the decision to put the money in physical education. I know I'm finishing, sorry. Okay, stop. Okay, let me finish this one slide and then I'll be done. The other thing is safety issues, the importance of safety issues. And we did have some policy recommendations that came out of this. You can find this entire report online. This is not my work, but this is the policy recommendations that came out. I'm going to refer you to the online source for those policy recommendations. We haven't really had much progress forward. The only thing that has occurred is the California Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance is including our work in their advocacy kits, and we're focusing more on advocacy from this point on. So here's my contact information. I apologize. I do have to leave immediately to catch a flight, but if you have any questions or anything, you can contact me. Okay? Thank you.